This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And this is Therapy in a Nutshell. We're going to talk about kind of an extension of last week's topic. Last week, we talked about how families feud when there's a death in the family. And a whole section of that that I wanted to go into more detail is about DNRs, do not resuscitate, because it's complicated, it's scary, there's things that people don't understand about it, and it takes a whole show to even clarify it. So I want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer here. I am not giving you medical advice, and I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm giving you kind of layperson's advice on how to understand DNR, and I'm going to go over some of the emotional psychological issues that get in families' ways and your own way as a patient of what DNR might mean to you emotionally and how to kind of wrestle with that and get over it. But I do want to give you some definitions and some explanations of what it is. But if you've got questions, I want you to go to your doctor and say, look, I heard this show about DNRs and I have these questions. I encourage everybody to go get a consultation with their attorney and say, I need to do this. How do I do it? What does it cost? And take this show as a spur on to do the further work to make sure you are covered with what you want to do. So let's talk about what exactly is a DNR. DNR means do not resuscitate. It's been used for over 20 years in the medical field, in the legal field, and it has two intended purposes. When something is do not resuscitate, it is supposed to help a patient have autonomy. It's supposed to help a patient have self-determination so that they can control their own lives and their own health care. That was the first intention of it. It is also to prevent non-beneficial interventions, end-of-life type interventions, interventions that can reduce the quality of life or even destroy it, in an attempt to preserve that life at all costs. So as medical capabilities became more and more fine-tuned and more extensive, there were the medical people had the ability to bring people back from the brink of death, more so than they did many years ago. And so as they started to do this more and more, and people said, hey, wait, I was terminally ill, or I was 90 years old, or I didn't want to be brought back from the brink of death, they started to give patients control of saying whether they wanted to be brought back or not. Now, DNRs have evolved over time so that when you go, if you go into an emergency situation or you're in intensive care, the doctors or the hospital staff will actually sit down with you and say, we need to know if you want to be resuscitated if something happens. Now, at that time, you're pretty sick, your family's pretty upset, everybody's worried, and they start talking about, do you want us to bring you back if you're dying? Do you want us to resuscitate you? And then they start explaining details about what that means. I think that's overwhelming, emotionally overload for your emotions and your senses and your family, and you're supposed to try and make a quality decision. They can't not tell you that. So what I'm encouraging people to do is understand DNR now while you are not sick, while you're not in the emergency room, or while your mother or your spouse or your child isn't injured, and understand exactly what it means now and be able to make a more informed choice. And ideally, and I'm going to do this when we talk about the legal section of this show, ideally, you go and get your ducks in a row now so that you are covered should something happen to you or your family members or your loved ones. Now, I want to explain something about DNR. As I was doing more and more research for this show, I realized that I had a misunderstanding of what DNR meant, and this is a common misunderstanding for people. I was very familiar with DNR because my husband of 39 years, had a terminal brain disease, and we talked extensively about DNR. And he said, look, if anything happens to me, don't bring me back. I'm dying of this nasty brain disease, behavioral frontal behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration, BVFTD, and he was very clear. I don't want anything to bring me back if I have a chance to go on over because of an illness or something. So I thought that DNR meant don't resuscitate him at all. But what DNR actually means is you're not going to do CPR. You're not going to get your heart beating again if it stops. As lay people, we tend to think DNR means every kind of resuscitation, and it does not. DNR means do not resuscitate. Do not do the things that bring your heart back. And we're going to talk more extensively about that in the next section. We're going to talk more about the medical issues of DNR. But I was confused about that with Rich's case. And I thought we were on board that if I said to the doctors, look, he has a DNR, don't give him antibiotics, don't do anything. If he gets a bladder infection, he doesn't want antibiotics, he wants it to go septic, he wants it to take his life because it will be a kinder, gentler way for him to go out. If he has pneumonia, he doesn't want you to treat him to stop it. He just wants to be kept comfortable. So we had all the legal papers and everything all lined up for that, but I thought that meant DNR. It does not. It's different. So why does the intention of a DNR often not work, even if it's just the resuscitate your heart, you know, bring you back to life if your heart stops beating? The main reasons are that patients are very unclear. They, like I thought, you know, if someone said, you know, do you have a DNR? And you say, yeah, we have a DNR. And I'm thinking it's across the board, but they're thinking just the heart, they might put them on dialysis, or they might give someone antibiotics, or they might do a feeding tube. They might do things that keep you alive in other areas, not your heart. So patients are unclear. They don't fully understand. Families are often resistant or fearful about letting go, or what does that mean, or what would the person want, because we've never talked about it. And families and people alone, just individuals, often wait until there's a huge crisis to try and implement DNR instructions. Then they don't fully understand what it means. Then they're super emotional and they're blown out and they're tired and they're overwhelmed and they're scared of losing someone. And they don't know how to answer the questions. And they can't even fully attend when the complicated medical information is trying to be given to them so that they can make an informed decision. So if you get nothing out of this show today, I want you to get pre-need is really important here. You have to have certain documents. I'm going to tell you what those are, give you some words to jot down, to research, to talk to an attorney, to get a consultation. I'm going to give you some medical things for you to jot down some questions and maybe go to your doctor and say, this is what I would want or this is what I don't want, and be extremely clear about it. And let your doctor tell you why you're not sick or why you're not in crisis, what they would do for any possible conditions that you might have. So this whole idea of DNR is a hot topic in terms of emotions. It's scary. We're talking about you've been hurt or you're sick, you're close to dying. Do you want to live? Do you want to let yourself go over? Like, it's very unusual that my husband Rich was extremely clear that he did not want to be pushed into life. If he was dying of something of natural causes that would take him out, he was extremely clear. I do not want to be resuscitated. I do not want to be given antibiotics. Don't put a feeding tube in me. If I'm on machines somewhere, don't do anything. Unplug me. So that's unusual. Most people are not that clear. Now, I'll tell you that my mom was extremely clear. When she was 90 years old and she was in the hospital, she practically grabbed the doctor by the collar and said, look, don't resuscitate me. I have a DNR. I don't want to be brought back. If I start to go over by any means, let me go. And the doctor said, we can put a DNR bracelet on you. And she said, good. And he said, you want to be let go if you get an infection, if anything? And she said, yes. And she was so clear with him. And that is actually how she ended up dying in the hospital. Her DNR let her pass over, and it's what she wanted. And very few people are that clear. Most people are more afraid of death and more afraid of the unknown. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to start off talking about the medical issues of DNR. And then we're going to talk about the legal issues. And we're going to finish off with the emotional and the psychological issues that can get in your way of taking care of any of this. We'll be back in a minute.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
We're in the process of updating our equipment here at KCNR. Now, if you hear a little extra static or perhaps a little silence between commercials, we're aware and appreciate your patience as we address these issues.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about DNR, Do Not Resuscitate. Perfect topic to hear the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You can go to randymcginnis.com. You can go to Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, many places to hear his beautiful music. He has a channel on YouTube. Just type in Randy McGinnis, Native American flute. Thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music on this show. Okay, we're talking about DNR, Do Not Resuscitate. And I want to tell you what I learned as I researched this to get ready to do this show. I knew I wanted to talk about the emotional issues, but I wanted to be able to give you information that really kind of clarified some things. So DNR means Do Not Resuscitate. And what it means are different levels of heart issues. Okay. First, we're just talking about the system that keeps you alive, your heart. We're not talking about your kidneys or your lungs or your liver. We're not talking about other systems that keep you alive. DNR refers to resuscitating your heart. Okay. So there's different levels of that. There's kind of chemical resuscitation where they can give you shots of different types of medications to bring your heart back up, bring your blood pressure up, get your heart beating again. And chemical resuscitation sometimes is okay with people. They might say, yeah, try that, but I don't want you doing CPR on me. People that are very aware of CPR know that broken ribs are common when that happens, especially when it happens for any length of time, or on frail people such as elderly or really young kids. CPR can be very invasive, and we, you have to remember we're all so kind of blindsided by what happens by TV and movies, because we always see that, you know, the person's straddling the gurney and pounding on someone's chest and getting them into the emergency room, and they bring them back to life and they take a breath, and they never show what some of the effects were of the CPR. So we tend to think, oh, it's just this lovely thing that will make you come back to life. So there's levels of the DNR. There's levels of resuscitation. Chemical resuscitation is one. Then there's what doctors call a full code, okay? And they often call it a full code 4. Now, in movies, we see that as code blue, code blue. And you have to remember that if you go full code, there are heroic efforts that happen. One of them is shocking you, that, you know, where they do the paddles and they say clear and they shock you. That's advanced cardiac life support. They're going to shock your heart into beating again. CPR is the most heroic and the most invasive. That's where they're pressing, doing chest compressions on your chest. They have to go in about 2 inches, and that's where the rib fractures can occur, a lot of bruising, a lot of internal stuff can happen to you. Another part of full code is intubation, where they put a tube down your throat. They usually have to anesthetize you because it's a natural instinct to fight that tube. But that's where the part of the code they're trying to do is keep you breathing. And then there's the pull out all stops, go for everything, try to get everything working again. They'll do what's called vasopressors, medications to increase your blood pressure. There's risk that too much can cut off circulation to your extremities, and you can go necrotic, you could lose your limbs. There's a lot of risk with full code. And I want you to picture that you have a family member who's in full code. They're code blue. They're dying. And the doctor's trying to say, do you want us to do everything? You don't know what you mean by yes. You don't know what you mean by no. So it's really important that you understand these things now, while the need is not there. And you want to know what you would do. For example, you might say, if my child were in full code, yes, do everything. They're young. They have recuperative powers. They can heal. Do everything. But my 90-year-old mom, she told the doctor if he tried to do anything on her to bring her back from anything, she'd haunt him. And she was clear about it. So you kind of need to know what the differences are. For example, cold water drowning. With children, the chance of resuscitation is really good because the cold water really slows everything down, slows the brain down, and you can bring somebody back who's been in cold water for a long time. So you need to know what it is you would allow to have happen to you, what you would approve of for minor children, and then you need to know what the other adults that you might be responsible for would want. So you have to have these things in writing. You have to have a medical directive. You have to have a power of attorney. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment of the show, of what type of things you want to get some legal advice on. But you might say, I want, not like my mom did, nothing to prolong my life, no feeding tubes, no antibiotics, pain control only. Don't do anything that will prolong my life. And that has to be in writing. And it has to be told to the person who's going to be the one sitting there. So I'm in the emergency room with my mom when she kind of grabbed the doctor and said, don't resuscitate me from anything. And he asked her a couple clarifying questions. And he looked at me, and my mom said, she's my power of attorney. And I said, yes, I understand what she wants, and I'm on board. And it was a very simple conversation. And my guess is that almost never happens with those doctors, that somebody is that clear. So when you're doing these DNRs and you don't want to be resuscitated, and your family member dies at home, okay, it's important that you call the coroner, not the ambulance. Now, that's interesting. If you want to resuscitate someone or try to get them to come back, what you want is to call an ambulance, call 911. If they're already gone and they've passed over, you call the coroner, and they'll come out and verify death. But see, let's go back to, you have to know what the person wants. You can't be guessing. And you have to have it in writing so that it's very clear about everything that's going to be done or not going to be done. So a lot of medical doctors will tell you that nature has a way of taking care of us if we let that happen. Now, put that in a spiritual or religious framework, whatever you're comfortable with. You are being watched out for. And if you are ill or elderly or sick and you are willing to pass over to let yourself die, you have to know that when you're being offered a window for that to happen. And you have to know what things to say or not say to your doctor. I had a friend whose spouse had really severe Alzheimer's and was in late stage Alzheimer's. And when he got really sick, he had pneumonia. She took him to the emergency room and they intubated him and they put him on antibiotics and they sustained his life. They even ended up putting him on a feeding tube. Well, he was in late stages Alzheimer's and it was horrible, and he ended up living 2 more years. If he had taken that window of exit and they had been very clear about what they wanted or didn't want, he could have been made to be comfortable, not in pain, which is palliative care, or going into hospice where they will actually help him pass over with comfort. And he wouldn't have had the extraordinary means that kept his body alive, even though his mind had crumpled. But again, you've got to know what you want. One of the things that Rich and I both were very clear about as he was getting further and further into frontal temporal degeneration is the other people that he met on his Facebook support site had FTD and they were still able to talk with each other online. He was very encouraging of all of them because he was an attorney. He said, get your stuff in order. Let people know that you don't want to be resuscitated, but you've got to have it in writing. You can't be thinking people know what you want, and you can't leave them guessing if you end up going to the hospital. And I can tell you, of the spouses that I dealt with whose spouse had frontal temporal degeneration, and the patients that Rich dealt with, other fellow FTD sufferers, hardly anybody was prepared for that. Hardly anybody thought about it, had their paperwork in line, was able to say, look, if I get a bladder infection, if I get pneumonia, I don't want to be given antibiotics. Both those things can take you over quickly. You get a bladder infection and you don't treat it, it can go septic and you can die within a few days. They can keep you comfortable, you're not going to feel pain, and you can let it take you out. And so why would you do that? Because you've got a terminal illness, or you're like my mom. She said, I'm 90 years old. I've lived a good life. I'm tired of the arthritis. I'm tired of being in pain. I'm tired of falling. She had two artificial shoulders, an artificial knee, and an artificial hip because her bones had kind of gone necrotic. And she said, I'm done. I just want to be done. So if something's going to take me out, let me go. And she was clear about it. But that's unusual. You have to know what you want, and you have to be able to be clear about it to your family, to your doctor, to the emergency room if you're there, to your attorney if you go and spell out what you need to get your paperwork done. You have to understand this. You have to know what you want. You have to put it in writing, and you have to be clear. Otherwise, you could be brought back from something that you don't want to be brought back from. And I'll tell you, if Rich had gotten a bladder infection or pneumonia and we'd given him antibiotics and he had come back from it, he would have been mad because he was ticked off at his brain that it was going out on him anyway. But if he had been given a window, if he'd been given an exit, he really, really wanted to take it. And he didn't want somebody getting in the way of that. And he knew as an attorney that it had to be really laid out or it wasn't going to be taken care of. So from the medical perspective, you need to understand that there are layers of a DNR. There's the heart issue, and then there's the other systems in your body that they can try to resuscitate, like dialysis with kidneys, intubation, antibiotics, lung support that they can give you to keep you alive there. There's things they can do to support the systems that are failing so that you can be kept alive to see if you're going to resuscitate, if you're going to come back to life. Coming back to life does not necessarily mean that it's going to be the quality of life that you had when you went under. So just know that these are some of the choices you've got to try and make before you need them. Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what are some of the things you need to jot down to get a consultation with an attorney or get online and research it, and some things to look for. We'll be back in a minute.
Promote your locally owned business on KCNR, Reading's only locally owned radio station. Brand your business through one of our advertising packages or by sponsoring a Colt 45's live broadcasted game. Call KCNR at 605-4565.
Get our 20-year, 200,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost with every new 2020 Kia model exclusively at Redding Kia. 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to reddingkia.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we are talking about DNR, Do Not Resuscitate. We're talking about end-of-life decisions and how you can take control of them, how you can understand what it is you need to know, some things to jot down and go talk to your doctor about, some things to jot down and talk to an attorney. So in this section of the show, I want to go over some of the legal things that you might want to put down as questions and some legal things that you need to go get expert help on. I am not giving you legal advice. I am explaining a few things to you so you understand some of the basics. You need to go talk to somebody who does this and get it done right. Let's start out with an example. I want you to picture that you're 19 years old or you have a 19-year-old child, a young adult. They're an adult now, and they're riding a motorcycle and they crash, and they're in the hospital and they're on life support. You are no longer, they're no longer your minor child, so you can't just assume that you can make all kinds of advanced directive decisions for them. You haven't done paperwork to become a power of attorney. You haven't signed medical directives. They've never stated to anybody whether they want to be resuscitated or not, if they're going to end up being a vegetable, comatose with unresponsive. Because you think, well, they're just a kid. They're not going to need that. But an attorney that I know who does a lot of wills and trusts and medical directives and all this stuff said it is her belief that every single person from 18 years old on, from like your 18th birthday, you need to have these legal documents filled out and signed. You need to be told about your choices, and you need to give, like your parents, the ability to come to the hospital and say what they want done with you and what your wishes are. Because don't assume that they're going to treat you like a parent because you've got an 18-year-old or a 22-year-old or a 19-year-old. It's not going to happen necessarily. I also see 30- and 40-year-olds that have none of this in place. Can you get in a car accident? Could you get an illness? Could something happen that could take you out? Yes. And it's not the take you out part that's scary. It's the almost take you out stuff that's scary. So what happens is we hear people all the time saying things like, hey, if I'm ever going to be kept alive on machines, just unplug me. I don't want to be kept alive like that. I wouldn't want to be a vegetable and not be responsive and have no quality of life. So if you have these kind of specific desires, or you have specific religious beliefs, or even fears that you have that you want taken care of, you have to prepare in advance. So in advance is the thing I want you to get out of this section of the show. You can't go around spouting, just unplug me, or I don't want to be brought back, or I'd hate it if my quality of life was ruined, I don't want to be a quadriplegic. You can't spout stuff like that and not have done anything legal to make sure that you are covered. So what is it you need to do? You need to have an advanced health care directive. And an advanced health care directive is a collection of legal documents that empowers you to spell out your end of life decisions and medical care if you become unable to communicate your wishes due to terminal illness or incapacity. So get that. You get to make your decisions if you make them in advance. If you ignore this, blow it off, pretend it's never going to happen, or just keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, and something happens to you, it's out of your hands. Do not assume that the person stepping forward is going to be able to make decisions for you. Let's go back to the example of the 19-year-old in the motorcycle accident, and he's broken his neck. He's being kept alive by machines because he can't breathe on his own. He's got a little bit of brain activity, so they're not calling him brain dead. So it's this kind of ambiguous sort of place where he could maybe come back to life when, you know, things get better, like his brain stops swelling or something. Do not assume that your mom and dad are going to make the decisions that you might want. They may be incapable as parents of letting you go. Some parents cling so hard that they would rather go visit their child in a bed in a coma than deal with what they would view as the loss of life and that grief. So if you've got some views of what you would want to have happen to you, it has to be spelled out, and you have to designate someone to be your power of attorney. So once you've started this advanced health care directive, your attorney or your legal advisor will take you into details, end-of-life decisions such as life-sustaining medical treatment, organ and tissue donation, appointment of a health care agent, or what authority you want to give other people to make your decisions. And you have to assign that to a person, and you have to assign that to a backup to that person. So if you think, well, your girlfriend would take you to the hospital and they'll let her make decisions for you, no, they won't. Even if she's your legal wife, they won't necessarily let her make end-of-life decisions. So the chance of any of us getting hit by a truck or in an accident or a difficult illness or something that takes us over, it's there. Is it high? Who knows? We don't know. But you have to be prepared for the worst that can happen. And here's my experience. Once you prepare for what you need to do, then you can stop thinking about it. When Rich had his DNRs and his power of attorney and his medical directives all clearly spelled out by our attorney, all signed, notarized, all legal documents, we filed those documents with both hospitals in our town, and he knew that if something happened and he ended up in there in an ambulance or somebody brought him in for whatever reason, those directives were very clear and on file. I also knew exactly what he wanted, and I could be very clear with doctors. But again, that is unusual for people to be that extensive and that clear, especially when they have a terminal brain disease or when they're dying of cancer or something like that. They say little things that they want, but they don't always go to the degree of putting it in writing. Now, let's say you can't afford an attorney. you can Google this. You can type in advanced healthcare directives. You can download it and sign it, notarize it, do whatever it tells you to do on that, so you at least have somebody appointed to make important decisions for you. And it might need to be someone who's a step away that could actually be more objective and who knows you and you've talked about what you want. But having absolutely nothing is dangerous. It leaves you flapping in the breeze if you have something that's going to take you out from this life. The attorney that I talked to getting prepared for this show said, at the very least, people can have a holographic will and write out their desires. That's where you handwrite. You don't type it. You don't text it. You handwrite out on a piece of paper exactly what you want to happen if you die, your will and testament. So who gets what should we do with all this stuff? You handwrite it out. You can also handwrite out what you want if you're terminally ill and sign it. Now, is that as good as having an attorney do it really legally? Probably not. Is it better than nothing? She said yes. She said, if you handwrite it out, only you've touched the paper, it's only got your fingerprints on it, it's in your handwriting, it's dated and signed, and you seal it up in an envelope and you put it in a safe and you say to your family members, hey, I have a handwritten out power of attorney and what I want to happen if I die. It's all written out there. It's in the safe. You can get it if you need it. Great. Plan A would be to go and talk to an attorney and get it all done legally. Plan B would be maybe to get on the internet and print out the forms and do exactly what they say to do. Plan C might be to handwrite it out and put it in the safe. Maybe do all of those. Start with the handwritten, print out the forms from the internet while you wait to get into an attorney and get it all drawn up or be able to afford it. So one of the things I'm telling you here is there's no excuse for you to ignore this and for you to say, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, I'm young or I'm only 30 or I know what my mom wants and I'd be at the hospital with her. She's elderly, but I know what she wants and the doctors would listen to me. Or my doctor knows what she wants. She's told our doctor, but he might not be there at the hospital. He might be off on vacation or he might not have privileges at the hospital where you are. Don't count on those kind of things. It needs to be in writing. I'll tell you one of the smartest things I did is when I had all the advanced health care directives on both my parents. My dad had Alzheimer's. My mom was just elderly and, you know, systems going down because she was 90. I had those health care directives filed at both the local hospitals. I took them down there. They scanned them into the computer. When I took my mom to the emergency room the last trip where she ended up dying in the hospital, they pulled them up on the computer and they said, yes, here they are. You're her power of attorney. You're her advanced health care directive. They could see who the backups were for it. And it was all right there. I didn't have to remember to bring it. She had fallen, and I didn't have to try and go dig out papers from the safe. They were already on file. I did the same thing when my husband was terminally ill. I filed the papers with the hospital in case we ended up there for some reason. And he was very clear in his directives. Do not give me antibiotics. Do not give me a feeding tube. Do not resuscitate me in any way. I want to be allowed to die. I have a terminal brain disease, and I would rather die of something I come in here for than the terminal brain disease. So being that clear protects you. Being that clear protects your family. If you listen to the show that I did last week on families feuding after death, some of it is because of this stuff. You have not been clear about what you want or how you're going to pass over or whether you want antibiotics or not, whether you want to be kept alive in a coma. You haven't been clear. And your family's fighting and feuding over it, and it creates a huge amount of angst and just horrible emotions at a very difficult time when somebody your family loves, you, might be gone. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of these emotional issues that keep you from facing this and keep you from doing anything. So don't forget to come back for this last section, because this is the part where I'm going to try and convince you not to be afraid and to go forward with what you need to do. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
We're in the process of updating our equipment here at KCNR. Now, if you hear a little extra static or perhaps a little silence between commercials, we're aware and appreciate your patience as we address these issues.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. I love this song. Randy McGinnis, Native American flute. He's just an incredible artist. Played all over the world, won numerous awards. The Native American Flutist of the Year. Incredible, incredible musician. And his music is heartwarming and heartfelt and lovely. We're going to be doing a concert on March 7th through Shasta Arts Council. And it's going to be a healing through music concert where Randy and I are going to be doing it together, playing Native American flutes. But I'm also going to be doing some guided meditations to help with anxiety, to help center you, to help give you some skills that you can go within yourself to calm and to heal whatever it is you need to heal, whether it's emotions or grief or boosting your immune system, whatever it is you need to do from deep within yourself. So this evening, on Saturday, March 7th, is going to be awesome, and I think really heart-touching, and you can enjoy Randy's music. So go to Shasta Arts Council website, and you can learn more about that, and we'll be putting it up on Randy's website, randymcginnis.com, and my website, patriciabay.com. Okay, so we're talking about DNR, Do Not Resuscitate, and the advanced directives and the power of attorneys and the medical decisions that you need to make long before you ever need them. But why is it that people avoid this? So many people spout off that that's what they want, but they don't go forward and actually do the paperwork. It's my experience that people really tend to procrastinate. They say, oh, I've been meaning to do that, but it's expensive. Or, oh, yeah, I keep meaning to call my attorney, and I haven't. And they procrastinate because they hope it kind of just goes away. Or they outright avoid it. And why does this happen? We're talking about death. And in my experience, 34 years in private practice, doing therapy with people and helping them through all kinds of issues, helping them through end-of-life terminal illness issues, people are afraid. And one of the biggest things that they're afraid of is death or dying. And I put that in that way on purpose because some people have a very solid spiritual foundation or religious beliefs, and they're not afraid to be dead. They feel like they know what's going to happen. They're on board. But even those people are often afraid of dying, how they're going to get dead. And so they don't want to deal with the possibility of long, drawn-out terminal illness. They don't want to think about, what if I were in a car accident? They don't want to think about sudden onset sickness or illness that leaves them incapacitated in the hospital. They'd rather not think about that, because the fear of how they're going to die is often overwhelming. So what we're talking about in this show is not that you're dead. We're talking about that you are dying. And that's scary for many, many people. Like right now, if I'm talking about this and you're kind of like thinking, I'm going to change the channel, I don't want to talk about this, it's making me catch my breath, I'm feeling anxious, know that that's normal. This is a very difficult subject for people. And what I'm asking people to do is to think about it. I want you to think about, what if you were dying? Of these different possibilities, an accident, a heart attack, a terminal cancer, a brain disease like Rich had, what if you were dying? What would you want? And this is not an easy question. This might be where you want to talk to your doctor and say, look, I need to know what choices to make. What would you make? What would you do for your own mother? I need to understand. You might need to do some research. You might need to talk to friends who've been through this with loved ones. The thing you don't want to do is ignore this. Put it off on your family. Hope that they figure it out and do the right thing of what you would want, or do whatever gives them the most comfort. When you take care of this in advance, you are giving a huge gift to your family. Now let's go back to Rich having a terminal illness. He had a terminal brain disease. And what if he had never dealt with this? What if he hadn't said, look, this is what I want, and I don't want anybody to do anything differently. Let's say he got a bladder infection, and let's say it was going septic, and I'm in the hospital with him, and I'm trying to figure out, oh, do I keep him alive? No, what if I'm not ready to lose him? And what if he could have some quality days? And what if I just want him to hang on and hang on for me? What if I'm not strong enough to say, please don't give him antibiotics. Let him pass over because he's got a terminal brain disease. And I can tell you, many spouses, many parents, many family members are not strong enough to guess at what somebody would want and make that decision. It puts a huge emotional burden on that person. You will give your family a great gift if you are very clear about what you want should something happen. Now, let's say that you're young and healthy, and you say, look, if I'm in a motorcycle accident, bring me back. I feel like I could rally. I feel like I could make a life if I were quadriplegic or paraplegic. I'd want to push through. I don't want to die. Do whatever you have to do. Cool. Let them know that. If you say, no, look, if I'm going to be quadriplegic and you're keeping me alive by keeping me on a breathing machine, I don't want to be kept alive. Take me off the breathing machine. Don't feel guilty. Dad, let me go. Be clear. And then your parents, your loved ones, your spouse can make the decision that you want, because you have taken the responsibility of spelling it out. You have not put that emotional burden onto them. So think about it, that some people are afraid to be dead. That's an issue. What are your spiritual beliefs? What do you think happens to you when your body is done, when this container that you live in is finished? Are you afraid? Are you clear with what happens when you're dead for you? What are your beliefs? If you have a lot of fear wrapped around that, then you might want to be doing some work on that. Maybe be in therapy. Maybe go talk to your minister. Sit down with a mentor that you trust and say, look, I'm really afraid to be dead. I don't know what to believe or how to go forward with researching this. Get some advice. So let's put that aside. Let's say you're not afraid to be dead, but you're afraid of how you might die. That's what this show is all about. This is about advanced need. That's why it's called an advanced medical directive. Before you ever need it, you get this all lined up, you do it in writing, you do the advanced healthcare directives, you spell out what you would want, and you make sure it's very, very, very clear. So the thing that I wish I had known is when Rich died, and that's a subject for a whole other show, he actually did a very courageous and brave death with dignity and died in my arms at home. I wish I had known not to call 911. I waited, per his instructions, I waited till he was long gone, till he was cold, till he was very, very gone, and I called 911. I didn't know that I could call the coroner. No one ever told me that. When I called 911 and they came, they tried to resuscitate him, and it really upset me because he didn't want that. It was all spelled out. All the directives were there on the counter. His DNR was there, everything. But they said, we are required to attempt resuscitation. And it just really, really upset me. And I knew that, boy, if they brought him back, he would be pissed. And they didn't. And the paramedic was just incredibly awesome. He did like this little two-finger thing. He said, I get it. He doesn't want to be brought back. And I said, he's been gone over an hour. I don't think you can. But it was emotionally traumatic for me and for the kids. So these things are emotionally full. They are fraught with decisions and doubt and scary stuff and you need clarity. And I was in a situation where everything was extremely clear and written out and specified, and he told anyone and everyone who would listen what his desires were. And there were still people that tried to undermine what his wishes were and tried to second guess and tried to be angry about his choices and how they were carried out. So don't assume that your family's going to understand or support or continue to support even after the death has happened. It really helps when everything is clearly written out and you've done this in advance. So just to kind of sum up, you need to know what the medical issues are, what DNR means. You need to know about resuscitation, like CPR, but you also need to know the other layers of DNR. Do you want antibiotics? Do you want to be brought back to life when other systems are failing, not just your heart stopping? What is it you want for your life? Give your family a gift and spell it out. And do it legally so that the doctors in the hospital and the paramedics and everybody can see that you were very, very clear about what you wanted and how and why you want things carried out. Don't assume that it'll just all be okay and you're not going to need to do any of that legal work. So I challenge you all to stop. Get online right now. Print out an advanced healthcare directive. Print out a DNR. Print out whatever it is you can find legally. Call your attorney and make an appointment, or sit down and handwrite this out, date it, put it in your safe, and have that in a safe while you call your attorney and make an appointment, or get a recommendation for an attorney from the phone book, from your minister, from somebody, and even a paralegal. Go get this drawn up so that you are covered. Most importantly, so that your family is covered with what you want and what you need, so they don't have to hold the burden of making decisions for you. I want you to picture that your mom could say, hey, he really spelled out he wanted all his organs donated. He didn't want to be kept alive. He was very clear that he didn't want to be quadriplegic on a ventilator for the rest of his life. We carried out his wishes, and it was very difficult, but I feel good that I carried out the wishes. That cannot happen if you don't do your part. So don't procrastinate. Do it now. Sit down for 10 minutes and handwrite out your thing and put it in the safe, and then call and make an appointment with a legal representative to do this legally. Talk to your doctor and say, what could I expect? Be informed and do what you need to do. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm just trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.